This is Mike TV episode 37, in which we are going to be covering Westworld season 3, episode 1, entitled Parche Domine. Suddenly we have some weird feedback.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
I don't hear anything on my end.
Yeah, wait. All right, take two. This is Mike TV, episode 37, in which we are going to be covering Westworld, season 3, episode 1, Parche Domine. Parche Domine. My name is Lisa. Joining me is my wonderful co-host, Dean. Welcome, Dean. We're back for another episode this week.
Oh, it's been so long.
I know. So excited. Like, I'm literally jumping up and down on my seat. I'm like, yay, Westworld's back. We're ready to talk Westworld.
I'm just sorrowful that I can't tell you that yet another person was unmasked, the Masked Singer, because it hasn't been
God. No, we are committed to not talking about other shows.
Oh, right, yeah.
Especially the Masked Singer on this show. This show is pure. This show does not need to be tainted with any Masked Singer talk. Please. I want to give a shout out. This episode was written by Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan and directed by Jonathan Nolan. They are, of course, the show creators as well. And I have a special appreciation for Lisa Joy because we share the same first name.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of famous Lisas out there, you know, so you have to take them where you can find them. And I count Lisa Joy among the famous ones. Okay. There's Lisa Kudrow. She does pretty well. There's
Lisa Leslie, one of the greatest WNBA players that there have ever been.
Okay. All right. There's Lisa Rinna. She was kind of a famous actress of the 90s for a minute. Do you know who she is?
Wait, you mean like the Scientologist lady?
I don't know if she's a Scientologist now. She was an actress. She was like a soap opera actress. She was on Melrose later on.
I'm thinking of, Nat.
She's like short brown hair. She's cute.
Yeah. She was on the first season of Dancing with the Stars, I think.
I don't know about that. Oh my God, Dean. That's another layer we don't need to ever talk about either. There's Lisa and Cult Jam. You know, that band. Sure. They were one hit wonder.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Lisa Loeb.
Oh yeah, her too. Oh, there's this one gives a bad name. Lisa Lampanelli, isn't she? Is that?
Yeah, she's there too.
She's all right. Okay. Anyway, we move on. Westworld's back. Are you excited?
Yes.
Did you like this episode?
Yeah, bitch.
Did he feel like Jesse to you?
No, I thought he was fantastic in this.
I thought he was great too. Welcome, Aaron
Paul. As much
Paul.
As he is, as much as I usually, you know, see him as Jesse because that's what we know him most from. He was, he was great. I definitely didn't get stuck on him being Jesse from Breaking Bad after maybe the first 20 seconds. He didn't sound like Jesse. He didn't act like Jesse. I thought he was great.
Did you watch that pile of crap that he did called The Path that was on Hulu?
No, don't watch.
It's two seasons. I watched the first season. I guess. I liked it at first. Then it got really stupid. It ended horribly. I couldn't even believe they did a season two and I didn't ever go back to it. I thought even Aaron Paul's not going to get me back for more of this shit. So that's my opinion of The Path. It was a cult. They were a cult. A religious cult. Anyway, it was stupid as shit. Anyway, Westworld, not stupid as shit. Parche Domine. I looked that up. I didn't know that. It's a Catholic, you know, I guess like a Catholic prayer or a Catholic response or something. I didn't dig deep, but I got the quote, spare your people, Lord.
Okay.
Spare your people, comma, Lord.
The gods are coming, so.
And they are angry.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good one. So let's just start with the cold open and then we're going to flow kind of character by character and wrap it up in the end. We have a plan. We're not going to go scene by scene, but we are going to talk this cold open. Oh my God. So we first get the circle, the black circle on the white screen thing that we've been seeing in the trailers. We now know this is Rohkabalm. You know, so we know what this is now. This is that machine tracking different anomalies and divergences and whatnot, which of course are all Dolores. So spoiler alert, in case, I mean, if nobody figured that out, that's what's happening here, I'm sure.
Well, correct? I do think you don't figure that out until halfway through the episode.
Well, until Rohkabalm is introduced, and especially when we see it, then it's like,
And
they explain what it does.
Yeah. The first time you see the circle, though, you're kind of like, what the hell? What is this?
Yeah. You're tracking different, of course, this is Dolores's path around the world, right? She starts out in China, and that is, it's the first divergence here marked in this Rohkabalm. I'm sure I'm going to say that wrong in the entire way.
Hoboken, New Jersey.
Why they gave it such a horror, I mean, this, anyway. I know there's a meaning behind that name too. It's biblical, but I
sure
didn't exactly look it up. Sorry, I'll have it by next week. Anyway, so they're in China. There's this big, huge, high-tech mansion. And I'm just going to say it up front. I love the world building, the futuristic world building all throughout this episode. It was beautiful and amazing to behold and looked fantastic and was all, you know, kind of like where you see the future going if the COVID-19 doesn't take everyone out. bad joke. I'm sorry. But what did you think? We see this house. It's a very high-tech mansion. There's this real asshole man that we learn later on. His name's Jerry. And he's speaking on a hologram phone. And he's, you know, mad about the Delos Park problems. He's got that kind of pulled up on his little iPad thing. Or his tablet. And he's just an asshole to his wife. And then later on, when he's going to bed, he puts this weird disc thing in his mouth, and then he tells all of his house systems to shut down for the night. You can hear the house interacting with them. So, you know, it was beyond any kind of smart house that we currently have, right?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good look at, like, the future smart house, but I also loved how his, you know, you don't even think that you think he's talking to somebody because there's literally someone standing next to him, and then he just hangs up his phone and the person disappears. So yes. I like how the hologram technology is fully there, you know, like, and it's
and that hologram technology is going to come back later, and we're going to see you know, AI technology, AI communication technology, which also has a second follow-up beat. So I appreciated this immediate world building. This guy's house was super cool, way too big. Nobody needs a house that big. You know, the whole house does shut down, and then while everybody's asleep, the house wakes up, and it's cool because you see first kind of the alarm pad disengaging, and you see it was very Mr. Robot to me. There was a cool smart house whole plot line in Mr. Robot season 2 or 3, I can't remember now, and it was cool too, but this far surpassed it. Anyway, it's cool because all the lights come on, music starts playing very loudly, and around the pool we see the bonfires light up, and then there's a naked woman swimming in the pool. Dean, of course, doesn't take long to figure out who that is. And we see this same man. He awakes in his bed. He's wearing a gas mask, but his wife does not wake up. So presumably Dolores also gassed the house, making it so that only he would wake up first. They quickly meet, and she lets on immediately as to who she is. And then, you know, she makes sure he remembers his time in the park where he took out his aggressions on her before the marriage to his first wife, who we also saw flashes of, knowing that he beat her, which he was awful. So this guy deserves everything he got, as far as I'm concerned. So she continues to just mentally and emotionally torture him, making him relive the death of his first wife. And then finally, she blackmails him for a lot of money, and also, most importantly, his Insight Company files that he stole when he quit, after he quit from working there. And Insight, of course, this is a new corporation, so remember that name. I think it's going to be talked about a lot. And Jerry does give her what she wants. And then as she's leaving, he runs after her with a golf club to attack her. But she pulls that great, splendid hologram switcheroo so that all he attacks is a hologram. And then he stumbles over, trips and falls, hits his head, immediately dies, falls into the pool. Similarly to how his first wife died. Oh, the karmic moment there. And then his wife is awake by that point, his second wife, that is. She wakes up, asks Dolores, "Who are you?" And Dolores says, "I'm the person who set you free."
Yeah, this is a great scene of just Dolores. One, I love when she comes out of the pool and immediately says, like, "I'm sorry, I've never felt that before. Like, it's the first one I've ever seen." So you still see her becoming human almost, like, or opening up to being in that human world, which is always cool.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, she puts those glasses on him and zip ties them to his head so that he is literally seeing his own memories of, in fact, I kind of got the idea that there were at least two or three other women that he killed before. I know there was the one in the pool, but I think there was at least one other one.
I thought that was the
different
same.
Women.
I thought
maybe, I don't know, but it looks like maybe there's one or two other women, but it looked, I mean, obviously he has had past and they were all Asian women. So I thought that was, you know, the pattern of his Asian wife now. So he's obviously marrying the same person. He's keeping them
dominating, you know, them. Even his wife before he went to bed, she pretended to be asleep. He could tell she wasn't. And he said, "You can't leave the house anymore. There's COVID-19 out there." No, he said, "You can't leave the house anymore. It's not safe." Whatever his business dealings. I mean, this guy was a bad man. He was not a good person, did not deserve love.
Yeah.
He deserved everything he got.
And then the mirror of him, it's an accident, cracking his head on the pool was great too. So yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So new opening credits. I did not take notes on all the opening credits, so no worries there, but all new imagery, same song, same great song. This is Ramin Djawadi, who does all of the music for throughout this show, which the music is just as spectacular as the music from Game of Thrones, which Ramin Djawadi also did the Game of Thrones music. So if you, I actually enjoy the music in Westworld even more. I love music all throughout. I love the renditions of the old timey songs that he, or not, I mean, of like the modern day songs that he does, but then even his just like big sweeping, you know, music is big sweeping pieces. I'm not a music person to speak about it with any kind of intelligence, but I know what I like, and this guy is good. He's amazing. Anyway, new opening credits. I'll just say that the images seemed very disturbing, much more disturbing than they ever have been. They've always been disturbing, but this was even more so. And the main cast, opening cast, credits main cast is greatly reduced. So I imagine they'll continue to add in to it. And I was surprised that even Ed Harris, that must be in his contract that he's in, you know, every credits, because he was not in the show, but he was in the opening credits. So we got Evan Rachel Wood, of course, as Dolores, Tandy Newton, Maeve, Jeffrey Wright, who plays Bernard, Tessa Thompson, who plays Charlotte, and Aaron Paul.
Yay.
And then, of course, Ed Harris. So that's it. That's a lot of names missing from what we are used to seeing.
Well, it doesn't seem like, I mean, even last season, we only got, you know, Jimmy Simpson's pretty much been out of it since then. I don't think he's going to come back unless we see later on a flashback. I'm pretty sure Teddy is gone, which I hate because I love James Marsden.
Well, I have a theory about Teddy, so we'll talk. Yeah, but
I think quote unquote Teddy is there, but I don't think we will see James Marsden's face anymore.
We've seen the Hemsworth. We saw Stubbs in a.
He'll be back.
We know he's coming.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is that you have these past characters who are still part of the show. But aren't themselves, you know, even Anthony Hopkins's character has been part of it. And I think he technically is now fused with Bernard, right? So
I don't think we'll see Anthony Hopkins.
But we're not going to see Anthony Hopkins. I hope they do bring him back at least at some point in the future, because I think he was such an iconic actor to be able to get for that first season. which I think really the fact that he was in that, I think pulled so many people into this show.
Yeah.
So I do hope at some point they have a flashback or something.
Maybe. I don't know if there's space for it. You know, this season's only 8 episodes. So
yeah, but they do, like I said, they said they want to try to do one more. So,
oh, I hope more than that. Oh my gosh. Don't say it, only just one. All right. If anything else to say to move before we move into,
no, let's talk about Caleb.
Yeah. So we open with another Rehoboam image.
Hoboken, New Jersey.
Yeah. This time it says anomaly detected, Los Angeles, USA. And I point out the country name because I'm going to come back to when we're in London. There's a weird country name there. Anyway, this is Los Angeles, USA, but we are not following Dolores. We're following Caleb, which immediately made me raise my eyebrows on Caleb. Let's talk about his story, but I'm wondering, Dean, did you have the thought that perhaps he is also not human? I want him to be so much human, but I'm worried.
No, I never thought that.
Okay, well, maybe I'll make you think it in my notes. This is what I gleaned from it. So we're introduced to Aaron Paul's character, Caleb. He wakes each day in his bed kind of very much in the same way that Dolores would wake up in her bed in season 1, episode 1 on her ranch. I liked that parallel there. Right. And Aaron Paul, much like Dolores, living the same day. Aaron Paul's kind of living the same day. Over and over. We see him waking from his bed. He gets a phone call and declines it. Although throughout most of these Caleb scenes, there is a voiceover of Caleb talking to his friend Francis. And Francis is also the person who keeps calling. Although throughout this whole voiceover, he is declining Francis's calls.
Right.
We do finally see where these two moments merge, where he takes the call and the conversation that is had. But I loved how they wove that conversation. It was exposition heavy, sort of, but it was so interesting. And hearing the parallel of him telling Francis about his life while seeing it play out, it was extremely well done.
Yeah, it led you to believe it was a past conversation, but we actually find out it's a conversation explaining his life now. So
yeah, exactly. So we also see imagery that they were in the army together. And I heard on another podcast that, and I guess I missed it, I watched the episode twice. You said you watched it twice. Did you catch on that this war they were fighting in was in Russia? How did I miss that?
I didn't, but I did notice that there was one image of them that actually looked like they were military, like they had military uniforms on. But then the several images later, they're coming out with these guns, but they're like almost in street clothes. I thought that was weird.
Oh, I thought those were like bulletproof vests.
Ooh, but even then they weren't wearing, like at the end, you know, when they're coming out of that building and eventually he finds Francis, he was not wearing a military uniform. He's wearing like a jean jacket or you know, some kind of jacket. And
like, so
more like, I was wondering if they even started doing these jobs maybe after they came out. Of the military or before or something.
Or no, early prediction here, we're going to get more back story of that whole time in the military, and somehow they did something that caused Francis to die and caused Caleb to be sent back and have to undergo this rigorous therapy, not to mention lose whatever points or whatever he needs to be able to succeed in life. So it may be something happened in the army, you know. I think we'll see more of that. I don't know that this is the last we'll see and or hear of Francis. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, we also see that Caleb has this very routine job running fiber with a robot named George. I loved that imagery. That was great.
Yeah, eating lunch with him on the beams and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And fiber, I guess like fiber optic cable or something. Yeah, that was really cool too. It was cool to kind of see how in this new world, really the robots are doing all the work. I mean, Aaron Paul was doing nothing but sitting there eating a sandwich in this job, you know, but he still, I mean, I know he had to manage the robot or whatever, but kind of cool. Yeah. to think that I did think they came out and said this is set in 2058.
At least I thought I saw 2054, but it's some 2050 something. Yeah.
So essentially we're 30, 35 years from this, potentially. And that seems about right. I think that's cool. Maybe not the host technology and the, you know, pouring some milk and making some skin and whatnot, but some of the other, the driverless cars and things for sure. For sure. Anyway, Caleb speaks of, you know, he needs to work hard to get his scores up. I just mentioned this. I'm wondering what that is. It's got to be somehow how you're, you know, is it like credit scores? Maybe it's a little more.
Well, I thought he was talking about his other work app, because he gets his other partners mention how low his score is later.
Oh yeah, maybe. But he says, I have to work hard so I can get my scores up so I can get a better job. I don't know. Okay. So maybe, anyway, Francis suggests to Caleb that he get his implant turned back on so that he can get a little peace from all of this. And Caleb says, no, he needs his rough edges. And while he is explaining that, we see him visiting his mom in a nursing facility. And she, too, is given a disc by mouth before bed. So I'm thinking this must be something to do with that implant, that maybe it allows people to sleep, maybe dreamless sleep, or somehow, obviously, this is tied right back to Rehocabam, because this is how they're, like, reading people's brains and memories.
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, I'm sure.
It definitely gave me at least the imagery of, like, this is like whatever this generation's, you know, Valium or Xanax or whatever is. Like, it's some kind of pharmaceutical that's everyone kind of is on. And so we're definitely going to see that more and more, I think.
But do you think it somehow is like tied to the implant, when like it triggers the implant?
Possibly.
We never saw Caleb taking any.
Yeah, and we don't hear about the implant other than just that sentence.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that.
Anyway, then we see, okay, so he's beside his mom visiting her. He goes to kiss her goodbye, says, I'll see you in a week. And she looks at Caleb and says, you're not my son. Now, this is ding, 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 clue number one that perhaps he's not real. Now, she could have dementia and not recognize him, and that is a common response. She could know that he's doing criminal work and not living up to his full potential, and she's disappointed in him. So that is also a veiled response that could be something like that.
Or she could
recognize that he's not human and he's a host replacement, therefore not her son.
Okay. Well, all right. Because apparently you must have other clues. So I'm gonna wait till the end to give my reason why I don't think he's a host.
Oh, good. It'll be the great debate. I can't wait.
There you go.
She looks. Then we later see Caleb speaking to hospital officials, suggesting that he move his mother to a state-run facility to save money. So he clearly can't afford wherever she is. And I don't know, he's totally against that, clearly. So I don't know how bad must the state-run facilities be in this world. Who knows?
It's probably because they have Medicare for All by 2054, so the state-run is just terrible.
Mm. All right, we won't go down that rabbit hole. Then we are introduced to the best app of all time, the Rico app.
Yes.
Made me think of Sons of Anarchy, not for the first time in this episode. So it's the Rico app, and you can scroll through, and I can't even tell you, I started to pause my TV and screenshot every bit of it, but I was like, you know what? Even I can't do it. But you could see like petty crimes and different things scrolling by. It was awesome. And what was even better is that when you selected a job, you could either confirm it by pressing the fuck yeah button or the no, I like being basic to decline. Yeah. Oh, it was hilarious. Anyway, he selects fuck yeah. And continuing in this voiceover, he tells Francis that he doesn't do anything too heavy and no personals.
So I'm assuming personals, because from some of the clues we get later, I'm assuming a personal just means like he doesn't perform any crime against a specific person. He's fine with stealing ATMs. Yeah. He's fine with stealing cars.
Right.
Robbing against like maybe a corporation or something, but he's not going to do anything that could possibly hurt a person.
Correct. I took it that way too. That I took it even that he didn't want to do anything that made him have to touch another person.
Right. Yeah.
Like he was not into being any physical contact at all.
Right.
And then we see that great ATM break-in heist. I didn't catalog it all, but it was wonderful. Of course, that was Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch.
What is that actress's name? I know her. She's really good too.
Yeah, I don't remember her name off the top.
Apologies for not knowing her name, but I really like both of those.
Yeah, I love
liked both of those and that role, those roles.
When they show up and Marshawn Lynch is just rolling on whatever drug he's on, and he's like, "Oh, I am definitely most all right." And he's got that shirt that lights up his emotion.
Yeah.
And it's amused because at first you see it's amused, and then later on it's amused. So I just assumed, okay, maybe just amused is lit up, but then he gets punched later and it lights to angry. So the shirt itself changes with his emotion, which is just fantastic.
I did not catch that. Okay. Oh, that's amazing. Well, we saw some other high tech clothes in this episode too. So that's amazing. That would be cool. That would be something fun to have in the future, clothes that interact with you.
I think it would be helpful for people to know, like, especially like, I mean, you think of just dating, right? Like a woman wears a shirt with her emotions on it and guys just know like what they're thinking, and we don't have to
definition,
guess.
The definition of truly wearing your heart on your sleeve.
Yeah.
And it was also clear that these three had worked together before too.
Least the girl and him. I don't think Marshawn, that was the first time he met him, but he definitely had met with the girl before. Cause she mentioned to him about even how like, oh, I worked with you before, but your stats are still bad. Like she's the one that mentioned his stats.
Stats. See, I think that's different than scores. I think the scores are somehow related to getting a job in society.
Gotcha.
Because I think he even mentions his scores later on when he's getting turned down for the job.
Gotcha. I do want to make sure we mentioned her. That's the actress is Lena Waithe.
Thank you.
And she's from, I know her from Ready Player One. Mm-hmm. And I think she's a writer for a lot of things.
She is. And I know her from Masters of None.
Yeah. And I think she's one of the main writers for Masters of None. Mm-hmm. But I think she's on it too. But yeah.
Yes. She's great. She's really good. She was great in this role. I hope we see more of those two, but
no, I think they're both credited for 8 episodes. So I don't know if we'll see them in all 8 episodes, but they're credited for it.
Fabulous. All right. We see more flashbacks of Caleb and Francis and the army. And I didn't notice the wardrobe malfunction.
Well, no, that doesn't,
it didn't happen in those flashes.
His shirt doesn't change until when they go to pick up that guy who's like whacked out on drugs.
Okay. All right. Well, we're coming to that right now.
Okay. Yeah.
So, we see the flashbacks of him in the army. This is all still with voiceover with Francis. And then, we see Caleb at a job interview.
Yeah.
This is where he mentions again, like, you know, I'm still trying, I'm still out there, putting myself out there. And then we see him at a therapist. And I took it this was a military therapist because they definitely talked. He definitely kind of prodded this therapist like, well, what about when you were studying us when we were over there or something like that? But this therapist ultimately asks him, how did you get here? And that's a weird question, too, to ask somebody. Now, it could be a reference to his mental state. Like, how did you get to this point? Or how did you get to this point in your life, you know, where you can't make yourself better or whatever? But it could also be a very literal question that you would ask a robot, how did you get here, to test to see if they know they are a robot or not, or something of that effect. Again, this weird veiled question, right? And then in the end, the therapist tells Caleb that he should stick with his therapy program, including talking to Francis. So we learned that this Francis discussion is part of his therapy, although the dots haven't completely connected yet.
At this point, we still think that he's just telling him you need to talk to your friend because he was there with you too.
Well, but he does, they do say something about like, that's part of your prescribed therapy. Yeah, but right, again, right. But staying, he's, like, we think it's people, his friend. Yeah. Right. But also at this point, I thought that maybe like Francis had been somebody who was, I hadn't caught on that Francis was AI at this point. No, had you? Yeah.
No, because I still assumed this conversation was a real conversation he had with a person. Yes.
And but when the therapist said that, I thought, oh, so Francis is also is like his Alcoholics Anonymous sponsor. Yeah, right. Yeah. I thought this guy's also part of his train. I thought there was something official going on there. Anyway, then Caleb accepts another RICO job, and when he gets there, it's this weird like, who knows what, underground sex club or something. And he learns that the job is actually apprehending some drugged out, naked, crazy, rich guy. And he immediately states that he doesn't do personals. And he gets in a fight with, is Mershawn Lynch, I think, that's like.
Yeah, he walks up to him, the guy punches him.
Like, this guy's worth a lot of money. And he's like, so what, I don't do personals. And he's like, oh, but this guy's also wanted. So, because he's like, let the cops handle him, you know? Yeah. And he's like, no, what if he goes to jail? And there's a line here where Caleb says, so what? He'll go to jail like the rest of us. Indicating that he's had some past time in jail.
I took that as he'll go to jail like the rest of us would if we got caught in this situation.
Okay, maybe.
Like, just because he's a rich person doesn't mean he should be treated any different than us.
I agree.
But yes, but this is where Marshawn Lynch goes to grab the guy. He punches him in the face, and his shirt turns to angry.
Love it.
And then Lynch punches him out, basically, and they drag his ass out of there.
Yeah, that they finally do take him down. And I'm going to have to go back and watch that scene because that's amazing. Then we see him wake up the next day, you know, the next day, same way, still having this voiceover with Francis. Later, he gets a call telling him that he's not getting the job. He starts to ask, as a very good job seeker should, he starts to ask, how can I improve my skill set? What could I have done different? Can you give me some tips? The guy's just like, you just weren't the right candidate for the job. And finally, Caleb asks, I'm sorry, are you human? Are you a human? And the guy says, I'm your agent here to help you. It's like the same kind of line leading us to understand that this, he's being turned down for a job by like a robocall, essentially. Right. And he's upset about it. And so what does he do? He takes another RICO job. And this time he meets a guy in a parking deck and learns that he has to drive an old school SUV to the next destination. And that's where we're going to leave Caleb for a moment. Unless you want to say, we're going to come back to him when his story gets a little closer to Dolores's. Anything else to say about Caleb before we move away?
No, he's just, again, we are seeing him as a stuck in his mundane way of life, but also we're already getting the idea of how damaged he is from the past.
Oh, I'm totally sympathetic to him. I mean, he's my guy. Like, he's, you know, if he dies, we all riot, right?
Right.
You know, he's the hero of the show now, or maybe, I guess. Yeah, he's the only good
guy. Now, yeah, right now he's the protagonist.
Yes.
And considering that we know Dolores pretty much became the bad guy in the last season, you know, once we found out she's destroying everyone. I mean, well, considering
the bad guy,
it's gray. No, I know, but the first season she was looked at as almost the protagonist, right?
Like, well, she was the victim through a lot of
that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Yeah. But now that she's woken and become the Arnold / whatever the general, whatever name, I can't remember the general's name or the colonel's name or whatever.
Wyatt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's Wyatt. You know, that now we realize, oh, she's the one that's out there straight up murdering everybody, trying to get. Which, I mean, you know, again, her cause is her cause, so she's the good guy on her side. She sees that as that. And I would even say they start this season off putting her back in the pro light because that guy she kills is so despicable, and even these other people she's going against, she seems like I'm rooting for her here when we start getting into what happens with her. Moving forward, but I'm still not sure this is another, you know, we always cover these shows. There's the concept of good guy, bad guy really isn't there anymore.
A little gray for the robots because, so, you know, yeah.
So I, now, I but you know, I, Aaron we Paul's, should... yeah, the protagonist, but mm-hmm. he easily seems like he's going to be seduced by Dolores to do exactly what she needs to do him to do.
I can't wait. You know, I should say back in the cold open that we did have some exposition discussion between Dolores and Jerry, where Jerry was, are you going to kill me? And Dolores says, I've killed so many. I don't want to kill anymore. I have two minds of it. I won't kill anybody unless they try to harm me.
Right.
And I think she sticks by that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, plenty of people try to harm her and she mm-hmm. kills
she
all
takes
of them.
Care so, of them handily, yeah. handily. All right. So we're going to move away from Caleb. I keep wanting to call him Aaron Paul or Jesse. So it's going to be hard. Anyway, we're going to move away from Caleb. We're going to talk about Charlotte. Charlotte, not Charlotte, real quick. So I say Charlotte, who we know this is not Charlotte. This is robot. Right. This is robot Charlotte body with whose brain ball inside. We don't know.
I was about to say, we don't know who she is, right?
Right. Well, she was originally Dolores's brain ball. But then when she escaped the park, she built a new Dolores, put the Dolores brain ball in the new Dolores, and then one of the other brain balls is in Charlotte.
Right.
I did rewatch season 2, by the way. I didn't watch all of it. I watched like episode 1 and 2. It was just kind of on in the background while I was doing other crap. But then I sat down and really closely watched the final 3 episodes before this episode aired. And I'm glad I did. It refreshed my memory on a lot of stuff. Did you ever go back and watch any of them?
I mostly did reading of recaps and things like that.
Yeah, so then you're good too. But yeah, but you remember those little gray brain balls, right? Yep. And then there was the red one that was the special data of Peter Abernathy that they had in Peter Abernathy. It was like the human data. I wonder if we'll see that guy again. Anyway, back to Charlotte. So Charlotte, everybody of course thinks she's still human Charlotte, so we need to remember that. She arrives at a Delos board meeting, and for those who don't remember, Charlotte was a high-end executive on the Delos board. She's been that in that role all the way since the beginning, right? So now this is just a Charlotte impersonator pretending to be her. I'm so excited to see more of this. She does talk about how it's been 3 months since the massacre at the parks, and the board kind of tells her that the brand, or she's, you know, she complains that the brand is still suffering. She wants to get back to work. She wants to reopen the parks, start manufacturing hosts again, mentions that they have a private investor, so they're ready to take the company private and get their asses back to work. One guy starts to really talk back to her, and I love that she's just able to press a button and mute him.
Yeah.
So that led me to believe that this was also hologram technology.
Right. They're all virtually there. Yeah.
Maybe some were there and some weren't. I think it was a mix, but I loved that touch. And then Charlotte or another guy starts telling her that it doesn't really matter. She's only an interim CEO, and she doesn't really have the power for the go-ahead without his approval, and points to an empty chair. And I wanted to point out real quick, the first CEO was the woman that Bernard was screwing in season 1, right?
Yes.
Or was William the CEO?
I don't remember. She was whoever he was with was definitely someone important, but
Bernard, like that woman, you know, I can't think of her name. Yeah, it was way back in season 1, which was like 5 years ago. I think she, anyway, I think that because there really not a whole lot of time elapsed from the events that took place in season 1 through the end of season 2, park related. It's like what, maybe a month at best.
Right.
I doubt even that much. So it stands to reason that when that woman died, Teresa maybe was her name, Teresa. Maybe. But when she died, which I think Bernard kills her, right?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And
that's when we find out that he is a host.
Right. And I think that's at the point when Charlotte ascends to interim CEO, I think. Yeah. Anyway, because, you know, that's when she gets old Logan back in her bedroom and she's really, you know, celebrating. Anyway, who can blame her? So when she points to that empty chair, I want to talk about whose chair we think that is. But Charlotte says that he already gave her machine proxy, right? And then this machine promptly answers that the proxy has been approved.
Yeah.
So how convenient. We've already seen how with what ease Dolores can control every machine around her. So naturally, so can Charlotte, so can Bernard. Right. I'm sure they all can. So I loved this touch that they were completely oblivious to, the other board members, that is. And then finally, it's decided. Charlotte decides it's decided. And the directive is that they're going to resume host production. She reminds them that, after all, it's not the hosts that kill people. It's people who kill people. And everything will get settled, and they'll be able to put it all behind them once they get that big killer at large. You know, of course, Bernard Lowe.
Right.
I liked that reveal, too. So who do you think this chair belongs to?
I got to assume it's Vincent Castell's character, right?
I was thinking it's Williams. Because if he's not the CEO, surely he still serves on the board. He's been a part of Dellens Corporation forever. And for what we know, William died. I mean, my God, he has hand cut off. He was completely maimed. Pretty certain William dies at the end of season two in the events that took place at the park.
And then create a host of him, yeah.
Right. We saw a future where a host is being created of him by a host of his daughter, nonetheless.
Right.
But it was also a 100 and whatever time he had been made. So what we could be experiencing here is that the rest of the board also does not know that William is dead. Dolores and Charlotte.
Yeah, and yada, I don't know. That's what I worry about I wonder about with William, because obviously through previews and stuff, he's going to have a big part of this show. Or at least they almost seem like he's going to have. I almost wonder if it's going to be like, except for maybe the end where it actually joins the present, if he'll be almost like the Adrian Veidt of this show. You know, like if his interstitials will never really connect with what's actually going on.
I think we are going to get host version of William pretty darn quick, and that's who they will set up to put in that chair. And everybody else will still think it's William.
Yeah, but all the video or the everything with William doesn't seem like he's just going to be sitting in a chair doing office work.
Oh, no.
He seems like he's out there trying to stop whatever he's trying to stop.
Oh, sure. He's going to get involved on take a side one way or the other. But I'm saying eventually that's, I think, how he's going to be brought back, is that Morris is going to brainball him.
Yeah.
All right, so this leads into some Bernard talk before we move on to our hero Dolores, our anti-hero Dolores. And I would venture to say that I think Bernard is heroic also.
Yeah.
I think he's a good guy. I think he's got clearly a problem. Anyway, so Bernard is working off the grid in a remote area at a meat plant. It was cool. It was futuristic meat. There was some livestock there, but clearly they were like
growing meat.
So synthetic meat, right? We see that his alias name is Armand Delgado. I know that's an anagram.
It's got to be for Arnold something.
I'm sure it is. Anyway, we see him scanning the news for any more Delos murders. And then later on at night, we see he's living in a small, remote, like, Asian village. I think it is confirmed he's in China.
Yeah.
But it's these, like, cool, like, octagon pod homes. So right. It's like futuristic, but still impoverished.
Right.
You know, it's like they've got technology, but they're still a poor little remote,
yeah,
like country village. Anyway, inside his own little pod home, we see that he has this cool new ability, Dean. He can run diagnostics on himself and interview himself similarly to way, you know, he would interview Dolores.
Yeah, it almost seemed like he has two personalities going, right? Yeah. Like he has sentient, but also his own host. Like, it's weird. It's like he has two brain balls inside himself or something. Now,
but he seems to have control over flipping it right on and off with his little.
Now, can you fill in the blank with me? Because I couldn't remember what happened with Bernard. I know we end. Mm-hmm. See, that's what confused me with season two, because we end Bernard at the beginning of Bernard, where he shorts himself out and ends up on the beach. But is this Bernard someone that Dolores created? Is he one of Dolores's creations at the end?
Correct. I'm sorry. So what happens is Bernard wakes up on the beach. He has just scrambled his memories and flooded the forge, and they find him, you know, the Delos people find him, and they put him on a boat that's also leaving with Charlotte Hale and other people going back to the mainland.
But wasn't he on Charlotte's or on Dolores's side in season two?
Well, he killed Dolores. He was mixed. He was back and forth, trying to do the right thing, because he was mostly with Elsie by the end of season two. He was trying to help Elsie, and Elsie figured out he was a host. She committed to helping him, like we saw other humans helping hosts. Like Felix and Sylvester and Lee. Wasn't his name Lee? Oh, my British God. That guy was the best.
Yeah.
I'm sad we're not going to see any more of him. But, yeah, so Bernard. So what we saw at the very end of season two was Bernard was at his original home in China, the one he lived in when he was Arnold. You know, because he's a manifestation of Arnold, right?
Right.
And Dolores is interviewing him, bringing him back online.
Right.
And he's like, oh, where are we? You know, and she's like, we're out. We're in the real world, but we can't exist unless we exist as enemies.
Okay.
And then she says, I'll leave you to it, and just leaves, leaving him there. And then as he's walking around, we realize it's his house, like from his memories.
So do you think he's actually trying to
left there?
But even her saying that the only way we exist is if we exist. So is she part of his plan, or is he part of her plan?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So because
he doesn't
even
know what he's doing right now.
Say it again.
So he doesn't even know, like he thinks he's trying to stop Dolores, right? Like that's what he's saying. And like, if I don't stop her, she's going to kill us all and all this stuff, or she's going to, but that's what she wants him to do.
I think she wants him to take the fall for the issues that went on at Delos or at Westworld, right? Or I guess at all the parks, because it wasn't just happening in Westworld.
This Bernard's story was the one where I felt the most like I didn't pay attention enough or don't remember enough.
It was very confusing. It was for sure the most confusing storyline of season two. Without a doubt. Okay, so we'll stay on Bernard in the here and now, and we'll continue to jog our memories about all of Bernard's confusion. Anyway, I like Bernard's new look, you know. Yeah.
Bald.
Yeah.
Bald and beard.
Yep. Anyway, so he's running these self-diagnostics, and he's interviewing himself. And first he asks himself if he's had any contact with Dolores that he's not aware of. It was so great. And then his immediate like facial expression and voice levels change when he answers himself. He goes right into that real monotone. He just says no. The last contact he had with Dolores was 92 days, 7 hours, 5 minutes, and 33 seconds ago. So that's the moment when Dolores walked out on him. So these two have not, she's been jet setting all over the world trying to infiltrate Rehobabam. And but she's just left Bernard there to you know, figure it out for himself. But also mm-hmm. she's got Charlotte out there planting the seeds that this was all Bernard's fault. And now he's a wanted man. So he's also having to be on the lam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Bernard's in a pickle and clearly not living his best life. But then he asks himself, would you ever lie to me? And his diagnostic self replies, no, of course not. Then the next day, back at the synthetic meat plant, two guys who'd already been eyeballing him, who also work there, do officially make him. They identify him as Bernard, and then they tase him, and then they prepare to take him in for ransom. But Bernard pulls a little, one can only say, keyless entry out of his pocket, hits a button or like a garage door opener.
Well, it's what he was using when he was doing the diagnostic test.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. He had to have created this for himself.
Yeah.
He had to do this because he wanted to stay safe, but also have a fail safe, right? It's interesting. I imagine we'll learn more about this as well. Anyway, he switches modes with this little beeper thing. And as he's doing it, he begs his other self, please don't hurt them. And then what can only be described as RoboCop Bernard takes over and starts beating the ever shit, really just throwing these guys around, no problem. It was a great fight scene. Amazing. Yeah. They never stood a chance. I think he ends up killing them both. Yeah. One for sure. The other one, maybe he only choked out.
Right.
I think he killed them both. And then even in his RoboCop state, he was still able to remember to click the button and switch back. So interesting. Now, there were some final scenes with Bernard, but we're going to cut away from him and come back to him at the end. And we're going to move on to Dolores, who definitely had the coolest storyline of the episode.
Yeah.
Caleb's was cool. Dolores's was cooler. So another Rehobobam imagery. This time it says elevated security. So we've seen anomaly detected and we've seen
Divergence
and now elevated security. So this time it says we're in London and the country is UREW. United Republic of Europe. I don't know. If anybody knows out there, let us know. But it's interesting, and I wonder if it's tied to that Russian war somehow that Caleb was fighting in. I'm sure we'll learn if it's important. Dolores is in a driverless car. I loved all the driverless vehicles. I loved how you could call. I'm sure there's apps. I think that is the future. I think that makes sense that, you know, whenever you need a car, you just get it from an app. I think, you know, Uber's probably the Uber and Lyft are the early stages of this, but eventually it'll be something like this. And I like that.
Right.
I like that people don't have to own cars in the future because you shouldn't have to take on that kind of debt. Damn it. Dolores in the driverless car arrives at an Insight company event. And there's Insight imagery everywhere. And I love this, that she's already used that paperwork that she got from Jerry to her fullest potential. She's going into this event at a head table nonetheless.
Yeah, she's got that awesome dress.
She does. She's in a little short black dress, I guess it would be called like a cocktail dress. And as she gets there and walks around and is observing the other people, they're a little more formally dressed than she is. So she's able to quickly move into a more formal gown.
Yeah, she pulls like the chest piece off or something and just turns into this gold gown. It's awesome.
It was incredible. I loved it.
Pure Cinderella moment.
Yes. She looks amazing, of course. Do you think Evan Rachel Wood is a good actress?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, she's beautiful, but I mean, do you think she's a good actress also?
I think even if you look from season one to this season, I think she has gotten better every year.
Yeah.
She's fallen into this role and you have to remember she is playing a robot.
Right. I was going to say she can be so wooden,
I think it works, right? Like that's the whole point of this character. So I think she's fantastic in this role.
She's no Tandy Newton now. Come on. But yeah, she is. I do enjoy her very much. Anyway, she walks into this event and she's going to meet her boyfriend, who we learn is named Liam Dempsey. And he is being awarded Insights Man of the Year. We do hear this voiceover as she's walking in on the speaker that is saying that we were facing a climate catastrophe, and Liam rose to meet that challenge, creating Rehobomb, I think that might be it. The strategy machine, or the strategy engine, that saved the world. And so essentially this man, Liam, is being honored for inventing an algorithm. Oh, we learn, never mind, I'll come back to that. Liam jumps up, greets Dolores as she enters, and kisses her hello and says, "Hello, Lara." So this is Dolores's undercover name, Lara. Right. And then we see the people that they're hanging out with are their dinner companions, Roderick and Penny. And these two are great. I hope we see more of them as well. Penny addresses Lara as, "Oh, you're the mysterious girl that Liam met in Burma last month." And then she gives her a good looking up and down, says, "You're so pretty. You're not like the other girls Liam dates. Where are you from?" And Lara's reply was great. "Oh, just a small town out west, off the beaten path."
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see these characters again. They seem to me just like superficial douchebags of the time.
They were, but Roderick is telling them that Liam's being honored for inventing an algorithm, or for being the son of the man who invented it. So I thought that was interesting. And then he starts talking about how none of this is real, and they're all living in a simulation.
And which they should have just went into the airlock.
A simulation within a simulation. Wouldn't that be the ultimate fuckery? And Dolores points out that there's a small 1.5 inch area in the front of our brains that developed our belief in God. And Roderick claims that he's an atheist. And she says, "Just because you don't believe, your mind was still built to." And then Penny has that great remark about not the first time something an inch and a half has led him around. All right. Then Chibs from Sons of Anarchy is there. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
We learn this man's name is Martin Connells. I think he's referred to as Connells. And he's Liam's, like, head of security or something.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's been the head of security for his dad for 20 years, I believe he says later. So, yeah.
Right, that's true. He does. So he's been around. He's loyal. Yeah. He's very loyal. And he pulls Liam aside, says that their partner wants to meet and it's urgent. Liam's putting it off, saying, no, he's got to go to L.A., no time for this. Meanwhile, like, they're off out of earshot, but we see Dolores trigger this little thing on the side of her ear, which enables her to be able to zoom in and listen in on this private conversation. So loved this touch as well.
Yeah.
Then Liam walks away from Chibs, aka Martin Connells. I just want to call him Chibs.
Yeah, just call him Chibs.
That's not thorough, though. That's not hashtag keep it thorough, though. So, okay, Connells. I'll keep calling him Connells. But, oh, my God, I love this actor so much. Tommy Flanagan's his name, right? Oh, he's so great. So, anyway, then Liam goes back to Lara. He invites her to go to L.A. with him, and she accepts. She, you know, she tries to be like, eh, and finally she's like, oh, yeah, I've got some friends I could go look up. But I guess none of, maybe that's where Charlotte is in LA, right? Possibly. Anyway, there is this great, awesome scene of them flying overhead and kind of like observing the technology, and the plane itself that they're in is so high tech.
Yeah, it's like amazing. A giant drone.
Oh,
is
my God.
Actually what it looks like. Yeah.
It was cool. So there's a little bit of exposition while they're flying about how Insight controls all of the technology that they see below them, thanks to his dad, who made the best AI. And then he takes her to see Rehoboam. Fuck. Ugh. And you know what? It's the huge brain ball. It is exactly like one of the brain balls from The Host, except a million times larger. And it's even in a building that we see from an overhead shot that looks just like the maze.
Right.
So that was fucking awesome. And I think there was probably some purpose there. And we also learn that through Liam kind of explaining it to Laura, Dolores, that it was designed to strategize and create the perfect path for everyone. But also it somehow knows when there's been divergences, I guess, from those paths, right? Is that what we're supposed to understand?
Either that or it's spiking her because she is like, it's almost searching for a non-human like thought or something.
Or because it can sense that she's trying to infiltrate.
Possibly.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So anyway, it might've been some of my, well, I don't know about my favorite scenes, but I just loved all of the scenes in this building, this building that housed Rehoboam. And it was obviously something that was like on display for tourists and site visitors. So there were people walking by, like, you know, it was
right.
It was there for the public to see as well. It was neat. Anyway, then Martin or Connells interrupts their conversation and says they have to go to their meeting now. So he apologizes to Laura. And as they drive away, Dolores immediately is badass, calls a driverless motorcycle, hops on, and is able to follow them. And she goes, she sees that they go into a hotel. So she walks into the building right next to it, immediately tells her AI to book a lease at an apartment in this building so that she has the freedom to be able to walk around and enjoy the amenities. It happens within instant. And so she's up on the rooftop bar, grabbing a glass of champagne, sitting down at a table on a balcony that conveniently overlooks where this meeting is taking place with Liam and their the liaison from the partner. And of course, she's able to listen in. She puts her sunglasses on, turns up her listening device. She's ready. Even another guy walks over and tries to hit on her, and she immediately dismisses him. Yeah, fuck off. It was great. But in this scene, Liam is meeting with Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
We don't get her name, but she was good in this role. Their conversation is interesting, but I think I've sussed it out. She is saying that there's a level of sophistication that they haven't seen before that has infiltrated Rehoboam. And I'm going to say it wrong every time, people. You can just tweet me and make fun of me. I don't care. And she suggests that it's a leak coming from Liam's side. And he gets very defiant, saying there's no way, suggests maybe it's from their side. She gets irritated, suggesting that perhaps he's using the AI to spy on them.
Right.
And actually goes all the way to threaten killing him. Like, you know, we could just kill you. We don't need you anymore. We have control of Rehoboam and, you know, we don't need you. And so Martin kind of tells him like, cut it off. And so he immediately just gets up and, he does say, wait a second. He does mention he again. Here's another he. This is who I think is the guy who Vincent hired
Cassell.
Exactly. Sirach, right? We do
Sirach, yeah, Sirach. Right.
Anyway, so he says perhaps he should be looking in his own camp, and, you know, my security's airtight. And she says that he doesn't share Liam's confidence. And she said, well, he should be more focused on the shit show at Delos. And then she threatens his life and he storms off. So they're also, you know, because we know that Delos was collecting data on humans. There was a chip probably very similar to the disc that they're putting in their mouths in our world There was something like that that was in all of the hats. So every time somebody came to the park and put on a hat, it was like reading their brains in the same way and collecting the data on the humans.
Right. And we also know that they were trying to smuggle information out of Delos too.
That's the information they were trying to smuggle, was the data on the humans, on the human subjects.
Well, but
that's,
I mean,
that's
the
what
said
Riabom.
Okay, yeah.
Initially, I think. I'm sure it's all tied in together. I mean, Riabom's collecting data more and more. It's very much like your, you know, your Siri or your Alexa.
Well, then that's why that's why I just assume that him is the Serac guy, because it kind of all seems to be feeding into the same person.
True. I think the board person, maybe Serac could be the board person. I don't know. So whoever it is this person is definitely, we are told later on, this person is definitely so tied to Riabom that the minute this person is even found out, you know, like somebody else knows who he is, then Riabom knows that that person knows and is able to tell him, which is how Liam's father died.
Right.
I guess we get this in just a minute, so I might be jumping ahead just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, actually, we're there. It's later that night. Dolores is still trying to be a good girlfriend, lend an ear. She can tell that Liam's upset. This is where he starts to tell her it's Riabom. He just wishes he could turn the whole thing off. And she suggests that, you know, since he controls it, why doesn't he? And this is where he confesses that he actually doesn't control it. He's locked out by his father's partner.
Right.
And he only has access to certain layers. And you can just see Dolores's face processing this information. Like, why the hell am I wasting my time with you? You're not even who I need to be trying to get to. I love this. She's immediately like, oh my God. So, he says no one knows what the system is doing other than the original architect. Dolores demands who that is. Tell me. This is where Liam says, I can't tell you. And even if I did, I'd already be dead, because Riabom would tell him that, you know, that I've told you. So it's like Riabom can read people's thoughts. There's somehow it's reading. That's the only way to describe it. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So cool. She continues to press him, but then all of a sudden Connells comes in and tases her.
Yeah.
I liked that scene too. And she, of course, is not really tased, but she has enough sense to know that a human being tased would have to fall over limp.
Right.
So she plays along. And then Connells reveals to Liam that their initial background check, that she must be really, really good because their initial background check missed this. But now he's uncovered that she was using the identity of a dead teenager from Kiev. And then Martin says he will clean up the mess. Liam suggests they call the cops, but this is where Martin's like, I've protected your father's company for 20 years. We can't bring the cops in on this now. So there's some criminal activity taking place too. Duh.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, they load up her limp body onto a plane. And then they take her body to an underpass. Then we go back to Caleb for just a second. So this is where Caleb's and Dolores's worlds start to collide. So we left off. Caleb was driving this kind of old school SUV, not a driverless car, but the SUV is part of it. I don't understand why they needed this SUV. I guess they were planning to leave her in it, pump her full of drugs and leave her in it, maybe. And it was just a throwaway car. It's like a garbage
car. I'm assuming that because it wasn't a driverless car, it's not being tracked
Have
some kind of record of where it is.
So it's a garbage car.
I assume they were going to dump her in the overpass that they go to when they're about to pump her full of drugs.
Or drive the SUV off the...
Something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, they had a good plan. Too bad. So we do learn that Caleb arrives just as the plane is landing that's carrying Dolores, and he was there to deliver the SUV and also the drugs. He's got the bag full of vials that he hands the guy, but he starts to look around as the plane is landing. He sees a lot of people, a lot of guys with guns. He does not like this. He tells the guy, he reminds the guy that he's doing the handoff to, that he doesn't do personals. The man tells him basically to beat it, like, get lost, you've done your part. Caleb still doesn't like it, asks him what's going on here. And the guy sticks a gun in his face and tells him to get lost again. And Caleb doesn't even flinch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's like, that's some balls of stone right there. And then he looks at the guy and says it's not the first time he's had a gun to his head. And the guy asks him, would you like to be shot in the head? And Caleb replies, not the first time that would happen.
Yeah, I think he says someone beat you to that too or something
right.
like that. Like, yeah.
Shot in the head, Dean. That equals dead, mostly,
not
unless
always.
You're arseface. Unless you're arseface.
That's different.
Okay. But if he were shot in the head and recreated as a host, not knowing that he had died.
But if he had been, so if he's been recreated as a host, then how is he already, like, he's apparently self-aware. And that's the whole issue of the Westworld host. Like, why do they have self-aware hosts in the real world?
Well, he has self-awareness that they maybe up to a point that they want him to have.
This gets too, if that's the case, if that's what happens, then I call whole bullshit on all this, because you just copy Blade Runner.
Okay, right. I don't want him to be a host. I'm not saying that he is. I'm saying they're definitely painting the suspicion. And maybe that's good. Maybe it's a red flag. I love that. A red herring, whatever. That's fine.
To Blade Runner.
Okay. All right. Come on. There's, tons of shows with AI people. This is just one of many.
Hashtag Decker was a replicant.
You cannot. All right. I'm not going to disparage Westworld. I will not be happy if Aaron Paul is a host, but I'm still not going to disparage Westworld. Then he finally does walk off from the guy holding the gun to his head. And then his phone rings again. And this is where he actually takes Francis's call. And the whole conversation that we've been hearing up until that point is what they're having now.
Right.
Okay. So now we're going to cut back to Dolores. So Caleb's just walking off talking to Francis, but he's relatively nearby. And Dolores is loaded up into that SUV that Caleb drove over, and they drive over to an underpass. There's a couple of other cars, of bodyguards and whatnot. It's the whole security detail, right? So I'd say there's 12, 15 guys in total. It's quite a few.
Yeah. Good plan when you're trying to stealthily dump a body.
Yeah,
have 13 cars and 28 bodyguards with you.
It's definitely evident that in the future of our world, in this iteration, petty crimes and certain things, maybe because crime's just so out of control, maybe some things like, because when they busted in and broke that ATM, granted they had that music app that kind of scrambled everybody's thought, disoriented people, but it's still, nobody made an attempt to stop them. So maybe just another, dead girl OD is maybe no big deal. I'm sorry to say. Anyway, that doesn't happen in this scenario, so no worries. So let's see. They start to pump her full of drugs. It's funny. They give her what is surely a lethal injection, and one guy is perplexed because she's still breathing. And Chibs gets mad and wants to give her more and says he'll just take it. He'll handle it. And then this is where I get a little confused, although the cinematography and the editing, the direction, all of it was amazing. But another car pulls up. And it's like, is this just a driverless car that Dolores called as a distraction? Or is there actually someone in that car? I think it's driverless.
No, it is driverless, but in the back seat, you don't see it at this point. But when I watched the second time, I realized what it was, because he walks up and there is someone in the back seat. And
it's
that's
other
when all of a sudden it's other Chibs. So when
okay.
he sees it, that's when he's like, what the fuck? Because he's so confused.
Right.
Like, he doesn't know what to do about it.
He does approach it. He does get a very confused look on it. So he's left the SUV at this point, leaving Dolores with only two guys or three guys in the SUV, the two in the front. And then the one next to her is still trying to kill her through lethal injection. he starts to call all of his guys for backup, but somehow he ends up in that car, or is he driving a different car and Dolores is in that car?
I think
no, Dolores is in the SUV.
He jumps into one of the other SUVs behind them. Because remember, there's a car in front of them and a car. But it's weird because you're looking at it through that rear view camera.
Yes. I love the perspective, but it was also so hard to follow.
The first time I watched it, I thought someone else was there who was shooting people in the background for Dolores. Like, there must have been some other shooter. But then I realized, like, oh, there's no one else there. So she stabs the guy in the car, takes his gun, shoots the guy in the car. Mm-hmm. She leaves the car. We look through the reverse mirror or the reverse camera. She shoots the two people back there, then comes and shoots the two people in front of the car. Mm-hmm. And we see that Chibs has been shot, but he jumps in one of the other SUVs, drives off. Then we see her get in the car. And at this time, we see a guy behind the car through the rearview camera stand up, in which she just backs over him.
Perfect.
And then
that's
she
exactly
takes
it.
Chase on Chibs.
Yes. Okay. That's awesome. So where was other Chibs then? Well,
so other Chibs was still in the driverless car, and I think he eventually meets them at the park.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Okay. So he's just hanging out for the big reveal later on. So because Dolores can handle herself at this point, doesn't need other Chibs yet. Okay. So great. That was perfect. That helped me really. although I loved watching it take place in the rear view camera display. Yeah. But I did need to kind of have it laid out a little bit clearer for me. So that was awesome. Thank you. So then we cut to, so there is a great scene. No. You just spelled it all out. So then Caleb still talking to Francis. This is where Francis says, you know, it's like I've always said, you may not always win, but you still have to play to win. And Caleb says, no, the real Francis never said that.
Right.
And with tears in his eyes, he says, Francis never made it back. You never made it back. And it's spliced with these war scenes where we do see Francis dying in the streets. And then Caleb says that what he needs is something real. And he said, this therapy isn't working. And he says, unsubscribe. And there's this real sad moment because tears are coming out of his eyes where we hear Francis, he says, unsubscribe. And then we hear Francis one last time say, you have to say confirmed.
Yeah.
And then he says confirmed. And then we get the robo voice, your therapy has ended.
Right.
Oh, sad. But he needs something real. Here's a man, potentially a host, in search of something real. And cut back to Dolores still chasing Connells. And eventually I don't know if he crashes his car or whatever, but he does jump out of the car and he's on foot.
Oh, he stops because he's back where in front of the park where the plane is. So he's trying to leave and go through the park to get back to the plane.
That's right. And at this point, oh my God, I almost just said Jesse. Caleb is also walking back to
that. Right. And so, so now Dolores follows him, gets out of the car, where at this point the other people have heard the shots. So they're coming. Well, actually, no, does she kill him first before all the other people come?
She does. So she just goes on a massacre here. But again, all these people were trying to hurt her, in fairness. And so she doesn't quite kill Martin. She gets him definitely where he's immobilized, almost dead. And,
other Chibs comes at that point,
right before other Chibs comes, she's leaning over him saying, who has control of the system?
Right.
And he, and his dying words are, his name is Serac. And he says, but it doesn't matter. You'll never get to Liam. He has a system. And Dolores says, this is where Dolores says, I won't need to, meaning get to Liam.
Right.
And then she says, the real gods are coming and they're very angry. And that's when host Chibs emerges.
Right.
And then he leans over and actually does the killing strangle of original Chibs. And then Dolores, you know, he does look at Dolores and say, "You're injured." He does have a little bit of concern.
Yeah, and she tells him to go back to the plane.
Yeah,
so we're assuming marching orders. We're assuming that's Teddy, right?
I'm thinking yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So then she does take out all the rest of the security team without a problem. And at this point, Caleb is walking back to the original site. He does see the plane take off. So was that plane taking off on its own? What are we saying?
I think Chibs was in it.
That host Chibs was in it?
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Sorry, folks. I just can't. We're going to call him host Chibs. I like it. It's sticking with me. So hope you like it too. Caleb walks back over to the original site where he had left the SUV. Does he see Dolores shooting everyone?
No, he walks up when he finds her. She's leaning in the, the overpass.
So this is him walking back while Dolores is taking care of everyone. They're kind of like meeting in the middle.
Yeah.
She's taking care of everybody. And then she's walking into the tunnels. Same time he is. I should mention the last man on the security team who was kind of staying in hiding and thinks he's coming up behind her to take her out from behind. And the last killing blow is this driverless motorbike that she was called that comes and runs that guy over. Yeah. Was brilliant. Anyway, she's wounded finds herself in the underpass, which is where Caleb finds her. I loved this meet. This was a great meet cute between them. He's offering help. Can I help you? Can I help you? And she falls into his arms.
Yeah.
I'm going to like these two together, I think.
Yeah, until she ruins him.
Well, she's not a good person and doesn't deserve love, but he
is. He may be.
I think he is. Anyway, final scenes. Anything else to say about Dolores or Caleb? Because we're going to move away from them.
I look forward to seeing them in the future.
Two quick final scenes, and so I look very forward to seeing them in the future. All right. Bernard hires a ferry. He is showing them a map. We see on this map, it's like some islands, all that you can really clearly see. This I did pause to try to study the map. I love maps. I love looking at maps. Anyway, it's the China Sea.
Right, yeah.
So he points to where he needs to go. Obviously, it's just like a little fisherman's boat or something that needs to get there. So he's not far. He's not far from Westworld. But the men are speaking Mandarin to him. So this is how we also are confirmed he's in China. But they do, I guess you can speak Mandarin in other countries. But they do ask him, you know, where do you want to go specifically? And he says, Westworld. I loved that.
Yeah.
So that's where we end it. We cut to credits, but hopefully everybody knows well enough to stick around through Westworld credits, right? This is a don't ever leave Westworld credits.
Right.
Because we get a post-credit scene and it's Maeve. I was fine not having Ed Harris in this one. Now I'm going to want to see him soon, but I was really glad that we got some Maeve, even though it was quick. So she wakes up, she's in a strange place, she has a new strange look, a very 1940s look. She is holding a gun in her hand, her knuckles are bloody, there's dead men around her, there's a man tied up and gagged who's terrified of her, that's clearly someone she has beaten. She has a gun in her hand, she doesn't seem to remember doing any of these things or know where she is. She opens up some windows and looks out. There's Nazi flags. There's war tanks or whatever. There's, you know, she's clearly in the middle of War World.
War World. The lamest name
is what they're calling
it. Yeah, the worst named park of Delos. War World.
Last season we saw Shogun World. I was fine with that name, but then there was Raj World. I wasn't.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is
it was fine, I guess.
I just War World seems like if it's just World War II, then why wouldn't you call it like Nazi World or something?
Don't know. I don't like it. I don't think we're gonna spend very much time there. Clearly, Bernard is going to get her. Right, that's the plan. That's why he wants to go back to Westworld.
I don't even know if he's going to get her, if just he's going back to try to get back to the cradle and do things there even.
Maybe. I think he's going to get any sentient host that he can. Yeah. I do think that Bernard feels that he's got to have the mission to try to stop Dolores.
Right.
And I think he's got to try to the only way they can do it is if, you know, they band together kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm also assuming Maeve must have been non-sentient for like the past 3 months and suddenly her programs kicked back in, or her like overrides Maybe. Kicked back in. Because she's clearly been operating without her realizing it, because mm-hmm. she's yes. got the guy tied up that she's been beating. She's been killing, you know, so something
or that moment where she wakes up there is the moment actually where Bernard is back in Westworld.
Possibly. So, I think we're definitely
going to
see.
Somehow his presence helps her wake up.
I think we'll definitely see footage before her waking up. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to see her
yes.
over the past 90 days.
We're also going to see who Dolores implanted into Charlotte.
Right.
We saw that a little bit in the trailer. So, question for you, Dean. Who do you think Liam's father is?
Liam's, ooh.
We know he's dead, right? Of course, no one ever really dies in this world, so maybe he's not. I put, is William? I mean, we don't know that William didn't have more than one kid.
It's true.
So if he thinks his father's dead, he thinks his father had a hand in building this AI, which we know William was.
If that's the case, then that overrides your theory of the guy in the chair being William, the not or you know.
Yeah, I'm a little more thinking the guy in the chair is Ciroc. I'm back on that because they kept saying he. It was a very distinct way of referring to him.
Could Ford have been his dad?
But Ford had the name. His last name was Ford, right?
Oh, yeah. Do we not know Liam? What's Liam's last name?
No, we have it. See, that's what I'm saying. We don't know William's last name, correct?
We never have learned William's last name?
I don't think so. Correct me if I'm wrong. Liam Dempsey. Liam Dempsey is his name. Now, that doesn't mean that he maybe, you know, he's obviously estranged from his father. More than likely his father was the man who loved, you know, his creation, his machine, more than his own son or something like that, right? So right. There's nothing to say that Liam necessarily even shares the same last name as his father.
Right.
So I don't know, even if we know William's last name or even Ford, doesn't mean that this person can't be the son of either one of them.
Right. Huh. I don't know.
I think that's going to be a reveal. And right now I'm thinking William. Because I think there might be, you know, a thought where he thinks his father's dead. Dolores is going to bring William back as a host, but infiltrate him like he's not really dead. And let the world be surprised that William Dempsey or whatever his name is, isn't really dead, you know? And
I don't know if I like that every season we find out that he has a new estranged child we didn't know about. Seems kind of weak.
You didn't like the estranged daughter? That felt a little retconned to you?
I thought that was fine, but mm-hmm. then if we just do that again in the next season, that seems lazy.
Maybe.
So I'm going to go on a record and say that his dad is Patrick Dempsey, who, after his great acting career, got involved in technology and became the change the world needed. McDreamy for life. Hashtag McDreamy.
All right. We can't end it on that note. Patrick Dempsey is not his dad.
That's it, folks.
I love it. Wow, we've covered episode one of Westworld. I hope that Tim will drop it into the feed before Sunday night, because sure enough, it's going to be back before we know it, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
Any other predictions you want to make about this season?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know. Like we talked about, I don't know who the good guy of this episode or this season is going to be, who the bad guy is. It almost seems like they're all bad guys in a way, but I think Dolores obviously will become the ultimate protagonist of this show
because she's going to be antagonist.
No, I think protagonist, because she's Dolores? Fighting against because she's going to be fighting against this Ciroc guy, who is the ultimate, like,
maybe
secret behind the, you know, Illuminati type, reading all the information, super spy, you know, right. Like he is the antithesis of what we think the world's going to with invasion of privacy and stuff like that. So
makes me think a little bit of Minority Report.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's what the whole Rehobadamadon is. Actually, have you started watching Devs yet?
No, but I plan to. I hear Devs is only 8 episodes too. So part of me is thinking I was just going to let it all pile up and then
The Devs program is very reminiscent of that, because their whole program is based off algorithms and simulations. They're able to like look through the past and the future with like up to one point, you know, 0.0 thousandths of a percentage variance of what actually happens or happened. So they're using technology to look through time. So it seems like what this thing might actually even be doing, the way we're talking about, like, oh, if I even tell you, he'll already know. So it's like this program is going to be so advanced where it can almost see if not what's happening exactly right now, but almost even predict what's going to happen or know what's going to happen before it happens.
Right. So, like an intuition, an algorithm. Yeah. So
I'm definitely thinking when we see those variances, the divergence and the threats and the anomalies, that, like you said, I think it's sensing Dolores trying to take over parts of that program.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think she just needs to probably become friends with Rhea Bomb. I don't know that she needs to try. She'll just
marry that big thing, that big ball, and then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Swim around naked in its pool, and then, you know, she'll have like it eating out of her hands.
It's like a giant brain ball for her little brain ball. So.
Well, all right, Dean, we did it. We covered episode 1. We did 2 episodes this week. I can't believe
it. Yay.
And more double up episodes to come in the coming weeks. So while everybody is staying at home and staying safe and staying healthy, we hope you are listening to our coverage and that you're watching these shows and more. So please do write and tell us your thoughts. You can send us an email to miketvpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on Twitter at MikeTV1 or at Rockdale_Tiger. So sports have been canceled for the foreseeable future. So I'm not tweeting about Clemson football right now. So it's pretty much TV and how close I am to murdering my family while being stuck inside with them for the next month.
Well, we hope everybody stays sane, doesn't start climbing the walls. There's lots of good shows to watch out there. So if you're looking for other suggestions, hit Dean up on Twitter. Hit me up. We'll give you lots of ideas.
Yeah, listen to some Masked of our Singer past every shows. Wednesday.
No, we will. If he recommends The Masked Singer, you have full permission to, you know, completely demolish him on social media. We gave lots of good ideas in our 2019 Best Of episode. We have lots of great shows that we mentioned there. So I would encourage everybody to go back and find that episode in the Radio Labyrinth feed and watch every show that we mentioned in our top 19 shows of 2019. And guess what? There's more than 19 shows in that episode. That's right. It's actually top 19 for each of us. So that there is 38. And then I had like 20 honorable mentions. All right. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. We look forward to speaking to you next time. But until then, I'm Lisa.
And I am Dean.
Please remember to keep it
thorough.